Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what percentage of the Polish population was Jewish before World War II, and what percentage of the Jewish population was Hasidic? Last week, Amelia Serrayer of the Department of Slavic Philology at the Complutense University in Madrid spoke with us about Jewish history in Poland. This week, she's going to tell us about three important Jewish religious and intellectual movements that took root there: Frankism, Hasidism, and Haskalah.
Tell us about Jakob Frank.
Yes, Jakob Frank is the leader of a very curious movement inside Jewish religion. It's like a heretic movement. So he thought himself to be the Messiah. We have to think that he was deeply influenced by Sabbatai Zvi, which thought himself a bit earlier, like in the 16th century in the middle, that he was the descendant of the Messiah. Sabbatai Zvi was from Smyrna, but traveled along during his life. And Jakob Frank, by the second half of the 18th century, was deeply concerned about the problems, internal problems and insecurity in the country, because this very huge state suffered from wars and attacks very frequently. And he had a kind of apocalyptic view in a way. And he was also influenced by some elements of Christianity, because he lived in, altogether with Catholic people. So he declared himself the definitive, the real Messiah, as if Sabbatai Zvi, he was like preparing the way for him, and also began preaching in today's frontier between Ukraine and Poland. And he was from a Sephardic family. Well, that's what tradition says, because owing to his surname, Frank, because it's for sure that he could speak Ladino, the language of Jews in Spain. And he married, his wife was from a very influential Jewish family, and she was also determinant in his conviction that he is a spiritual leader, and in the transmission of all the beliefs of Sabbatai Zvi. So when Jakob Frank had to be very careful in his preaching, of course, he was very often persecuted, and also he was in jail, in prison for some months. But that is why he was constantly traveling. And also, he had to baptize to Islam to avoid the death penalty, and to Catholicism. But it is said that he viewed in this like the possibility of continuing his preaching secretly or to escape, and not a traition, since his master himself, Sabbatai Zvi, also embraced Islam. And we have also to say that in the end of his life he was also imprisoned, and that's why his followers saw a very charismatic leader and a martyr in a way. Nevertheless, he changed his place of living, some aspects of his beliefs. The aim of his doctrine was very spiritual. It also enhanced the role of the Virgin in the doctrine. He thought that the power of rabbis was too much, and there was like a distance from between them and the followers. And he's very controverted, since he changed his faith, and his followers, they also little by little converted to some other faith. in order not to be prosecuted, or sometimes they had this changes, those moments when they doubted about their faith or all the propaganda against his master. He was said sometimes to organize like very wild sexual meetings, not just religious, and it seems all this, his beliefs were difficult to access. It all created like a big confusion, which lasts until nowadays. It is difficult to separate facts from fiction in his life.
So were his followers Jewish originally, and he himself continued to consider himself Jewish, so it was almost like a sect of Judaism?
That's it, exactly, a sect of Judaism. Uh-huh. Yes, like it was like the renewal, an up-to-date, an internal change, a catharsis that was necessary to recover significance, to involve people and their beliefs actively. It was a time of invasions and uncertainty, so where people thought more about safety, material things, and he wanted to go back to the roots of religion so that spirituality would have an important place in everyday life too.
And this was at about the same time as Hasidism was created. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's right, that's right. You could also explain both phenomena. So Hasidism, it was in fact created a bit earlier, but it lasts until today, as you all know, and it has had several periods of flourishment or golden periods. It has expanded. The creator, it's, as you know, Baal Shem Tov, the great master from today's Ukraine, and then this Republic of Two Nations, Poland, let's say. And he was born in Okope Święte Trójce and led a very long life. He also has some points in common with Jakob Frank and his teaching, because he also thought that religion had lost its power, its even attraction in, from the one hand. We do not today have his own writings, just hear his followers transmitted them, but we know for sure that the idea was also very philosophical and spiritual. Hasidists despise wealth. They think very important to sing, to go out to the street, meet to the reflection on the writings. And that made the movement very popular and also dangerous from the for the establishment of the Jewish community. So his biggest enemy, Gaon from Vilna, which was very respected, is also an incredible figure. He's a mathematician, an astronomer, as well as a philosopher and a rabbi, was very involved in the persecution of them. He was also afraid of losing influence on the community, because Hasidism in the beginning, it was like a very small community that it just covered two or three towns, Międzyrzece, Okopy Święte Trójce, which are in the western Ukraine today, but very quickly spread even to Lithuania, and also it spread westwards and eastwards. So quickly developed, and as we know, before the Second World War, the Hasidic community in Poland was very, very huge. It is said to be 350,000 people, which is out of a community of 3 or 3.5 million Jews. It is like more or less a 10%. the same percentage of a Jewish population in Poland in 1939.
And then the Haskalah was a reaction.
Yes, yes, yes. You have to think that the Haskalah, it is in a way also an enemy of Hasidism, because let's say that the previous reforms are like internal. They do not pass the frontiers of the Jewish community, whereas the Haskalah or Jewish Enlightenment, as we all know, it's an attempt to integrate Jews in the society of its homelands. It's of secularization, of going out of the Kahal or from the Jewish district, not to renounce to its roots and culture, but to avoid also discrimination, to have a better education, in the sense that the communities in big cities, by joining the educational system of the countries, had an access of the Western culture. So they kept studying their own roots, but they were like the connection between two worlds, so that their own world wouldn't be suspicious or misunderstood. They understood that they had to engage in the society they were living, and therefore they would also live a better life, and they would be more esteemed by the rest of society. And they also wanted to summon up and compel the knowledge and all the ancient Jewish culture. And they understood that also it was important to go back to Hebrew, to the roots on the one hand, and cultivate this language, which was little by little in a way substituted by Yiddish. And they wanted to enlighten also, of course, their own people, and to make them conscious and aware of their history, so they could also promote them in a wider range of all social components in their own places. So they were constantly promoting German, for instance, in the Haskalah, was born in Berlin, as we know, but also Hebrew. And little by little, especially thanks to the Haskalah leaders from the East, which come usually a bit later, they also promoted Yiddish. But the thing is that you can translate the fundamentals of Western culture and Jewish culture by this way, if you are able to speak both languages and to know both traditions.
So what actually happened is that on the one hand, the Jews were encouraged to leave their own isolated communities but without actually assimilating. So that's really interesting. So in other words, it was almost promoting a biculturalism rather than assimilation into the surrounding culture, because they maintained their Jewishness and their Jewish culture. And here we're talking about 18th century, right?
Yes, this is the book we're talking about, the 18th century. It is difficult to interpret sometimes because Haskalah leaders have sometimes been accused of assimilating rather than integrating. It was not their first purpose, but sometimes it is true that Moses Mendelssohn, founder of the movement, and some of his followers, including, for instance, Polish Joseph Pearl, wrote mostly in German, and were also very deeply influenced by the great German philosophers of the 19th century. So, in a way, they did not just cultivate like huge topics in their books and in their literary production. So, some people think that this way they, in a way, forgot some of the Jewish tradition. The truth is that they just rejected the passive role of some members of the community, that we have to say that for a poor member of the big Jewish communities in cities and capitals such as Berlin, Warsaw, or there was a time when the rabbi was so influential that he was like the authority in every aspect, and it was like some members of the community did not concern really about cultivating themselves. For that, they had advisors, they had the rabbi, he was like a spiritual guide. But the Haskalahs and Enlightenment movement, it encourages everyone to read, to cultivate themselves, to also, it is related with various arts, with the development of the communities in a way it's developed. It is also related, for instance, with those people who put their money or in banks or just in to create factories. So you can contribute to the modern times and in several ways. It's not just that you are locked up in your district and your activity is just to keep you up, but really you give little to the society as a whole, so that society also does not care about you. No? They wanted to break this separation between like two parallel worlds, and that's the very important part of the message. They had a very skeptical attitude towards a Hasidic movement because it was more spiritual than scientific, let's say, or concrete. And also it was transmitted from father to son, a lot of generations of tzaddiks, masters, like as if you were rabbis, and the life of the community, but just the Hasidic community inside the Jewish community, this life together was very important, and a way of enjoy religious celebration. But again, the role of the leader, the master, and it was crucial. The rest of the community followed the commands they were given.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with Medley of Nigunim from the CD Nigunim Hasidic Melodies, produced by the Fair Jewish Music Center of Beit HaTfutzot, the Museum of the Jewish Diaspora in Tel Aviv. See you next week.